It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Happy New Year, Captain Mike.
Happy New Year to you, Sean.
It's a new year to work with, and we didn't miss out much between Christmas and New Year's, except, I mean, you had some success.
Well, yeah, my grandson killed one.
Was it 80 degrees when he killed that buck, or was it 78?
He was hunting in shorts.
Okay.
And a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it was hot. It was actually, I think, 83 degrees.
It was ridiculous.
That afternoon. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous. It was, you know, when I had a chance to go do stuff, of course, that's when it was hot like that, and then reality hits when the cold fronts hit. But, yeah, your grandson killed that buck
Wednesday before New Year's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he just doing buck stuff? I mean, was he?
In a green field. Came out in a green field, yeah. And we got a great guest on, Jay Graddick, here in just a minute. But speaking about my green fields,
yeah.
I need to show you my pictures of my green field on the throw and mow.
Okay, yeah. So this
throw
is
and your, grow and throw and mow.
Throw and mow. This is the first year
first year.
You've been hearing me talk about it for a while.
They're as pretty as they ever get. Did not disc anything up, and my fields are awesome.
Are you on my team now?
I'm on your team, buddy.
All right. See if we can get our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing on that. No disc needed. What do you think about that, Jay? Is that blasphemy?
Hey, look, I like it. You know, I've been hunting in Kansas 19 years, and I first saw that they don't disc anything out there. It's all no-till and put in with a seed drill, and I actually I use a drill. I bought a Great Plains drill about 10, 12 years ago, and I know it scratches the ground a little bit, but
that's all you
like
need.
All that discing and dragging and got to go up to the camp two or three times to get planted because of weather and all that. Man, you run through there. Leave your moisture content in the ground.
Well, there you go. You don't
root structure.
Yeah, you don't lose your topsoil, and you don't lose your moisture content. I started doing it way back because, well, we got not great soil. I mean, I got really sandy soil in the two places I have that I hunt, and some areas are worse than others. And I looked at fields that were dang near like, you know, the beach at Gulf Shores. But then you'd walk off in the woods and dig up under the pine straw, and you had dirt. Well, what was different? Well, what was different is we're disking it all away in a patch, and
it makes a big difference.
You know, so it's been a good thing. And have y'all heard fertilizer prices lately?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
I bought some.
Yeah.
The least amount of fertilizer you got to put on anything you can do to make your fertilizer bill go down is a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah, guys, that's what I found out about my Great Plains drill. Use about 40% of the seed I used to use, and a lot less fertilizer.
Yep,
yep. A good friend of mine's a farmer up in Uriah, and it cost him four times more this year for fertilizer than what it did last year. Four times.
Now that's a big difference.
And that's somebody trying to make a living on it. You know, we look at it in the hunting world, though. You start tallying that up, and you know it's. It'll pay not to be sloppy, right?
Absolutely.
Whether you throw a mow or you do it, it pays not to be sloppy with your fertilizer.
You don't want to waste it.
If that's for sure.
Yep.
All right. We got to ask you, Jay. We got you on our barometer of all things deer hunting is what you're seeing coming into Skinner's Wild Game Processing. So talk about what you've been seeing the last week or two. Is it bucks?
Talking about the warm weather. It slowed down a bit during that warm weather. I think it was Sunday about a week ago. The temperature dropped and the deer started rolling in. They started rolling in them bucks. Right now, you got just about a perfect storm coming. You got hot today. We got a front rolling in tonight. You've got a lot of these bucks are now reestablishing their scrape lines, their rub lines, not just around the food, you know, not just around your green patches, but also their travel corridors in the woods. And you guys at Turkey Hunt, if you paid attention while you was turkey hunting, you should have found several of those. And now's the time to start getting set up on them.
Yep. I agree with you, Jay. I mean, this is when they're making their scrapes and their rubs and distinguishing their territory and hoping that the does are going to come through their scrapes.
They're on their feet. I can tell you that just from what I had a great hunt this last week when it was cold, and they're on their feet moving, pushing, you know. Not out chasing, that in between of pushing and chasing, somewhere in between.
Well,
yeah, they're just curious right now, guys. I mean, these deer, they're getting ready. It's part of the cycle of the breeding cycle, and you're going to see, all of a sudden, you're going to see a bunch of scrapes show up after this front blows through here, I believe. I saw a bunch in the last couple of days. I've got customers that's been bringing in some really nice bucks. Mike, I sent you one.
I mean, that's an Alabama. I text you back and said that's an Alabama monster, and it was a really fine buck.
That's right. And those deer, after this front, you're going to have that squirrel syndrome tomorrow. So Friday and Saturday should be pretty doggone good days to be in the woods to get an early jump on a pre-rut buck.
That's right.
This is you're talking about when you say you hunt those scrapes. I mean, you can't hunt them all. You know what I'm saying? It's just to challenge us a little bit. You'd say hunt a scrape. I got one road that in 100 yards there's 15 of them. You know, and then there's another three, and then it goes for about 200 yards. There's nothing. Then there's 17. I mean, which one are you hunting?
Well, you know, back in the day before we had these cameras and all these things that helped us get a little bit of an edge, you know, there also you want to read your scrapes. I mean, there's a lot of scrapes made by small deer.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many in a day. But you want to find them real aggressive scrapes that's got those limbs broke off well above about shoulder high on a man. And just some real aggressive stuff. I'm talking about slinging that dirt back there, you know, several feet behind the scrape. Not these little pie plate jobs that just happen to be in a logging road or something.
Right.
You want to find that real aggressive deer. You want to find those rubs where he's rubbing maybe a sapling and then there's something behind it that his main beams are reaching back there and scratching it too. And, you know, just tearing things up. That's a man. Okay. I used to find those scrapes and rubs and that sign, and I was excited just to be in the tree, just hoping that joker come through there. And then, you know, Sean, what you're saying there is true. There'll be a rub line. That rub line might be a quarter or half mile long. But
yep.
One thing you want to figure out is, why is he traveling that corridor right there, and where is he going from and to? If there's a real good thicket, maybe that's his bedding area. And maybe he's headed to, it might not even be your land, it might be an adjacent landowner's property headed to a food source or whatever that he's coming through there. So in the morning, you figure out which end of that thing you want to be on. In the afternoon, you figure out where you're going to be on. And just make sure that you're well downwind of it if you can be. He might not walk right down that scrape line. You might walk. He might sense you check that thing, you know, 30, 40 yards parallel to that scrape line. And if you're not set up right, he'll never see him.
Well, yeah, on these scrapes, too, and I was sitting here showing Mike some pictures as well, and I like that one, Mike, is a community scrape. I got, a buck on it,
right,
standing up on his back legs. The tree's a little high.
Yeah.
But you'll see – probably that one, five different bucks come through that in a few days' time. How do you?
There's not just one buck,
right?
Hit a scrape most of the time.
How do you break down though? I mean, in general size versus a community scrape. I mean, can you walk up and look at one and say this one's better than another one?
Well, community scrape, Sean. Guys, typically what I've seen, it's scraped almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
For several years in a row. So that thing might be bowled out. It mm-hmm. may actually be a big depression in the ground. And like you say, you put a camera on it or you hunt it. I remember back in Augusta, Georgia, many years ago, a guy was telling me he never killed a rack buck. He was telling me about his property, and he was telling me about the scrape he found. And I told him, I said, Mike, you need his name was His first name was Mike. I said, Mike, you need to set up on that thing downwind of it, opening morning of bow season. And I think it was either 5 or 7 bucks came by there.
Yep.
He got buck fever so bad, guys. He had one of them old plastic flashlights in his back pocket, one of them D-cell flashlights that he used to get in there and get in his stand. He said he was shaking so bad the batteries were rattling in the flashlight. He tried to draw his bow, and he couldn't even draw his bow, and he finally just let go of it about half drawn, and anyway, it didn't turn out too good.
Yeah. Don't you just love those stories?
Oh, yeah.
Man,
he come to work, was telling me that. He said, man, you're not going to believe it. All these bucks showed up that thing. Finally, the last one come through. I tried to draw my bow. I couldn't do it. I was shaking so damn bad, I couldn't do anything. I didn't have any strength. Just zapped the energy right out of it.
And it'll do it to you. That being cold. Both of those things, it's hard to pull your bow back sometimes.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about this. So pre-rut now. Now, we've learned over time, a lot of people knew it, but the states recognize it. We've got good management now that there are a bunch of different ruts in our state. But down in our neck of the woods, there are pretty much two we're talking about. The one that's a January, like right in here, rut, and then one in February. So let's talk about that. We're in pre-rut now.
We're at January the 8th today.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, you know, next weekend being the middle
that for me
January.
In our place is like even in Mobile County, because our deer rut, like Black Belt deer, that's kind of prime time for us.
It is. I mean, that's prime time for where but Jay's now, hunting, where I'm hunting at.
Yeah, but then again, so Western Washington County where I hunt, it's going to happen in February.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, but what do we do right now, pre-rut, different than what do you do? What are y'all changing from this weekend? How are you going to hunt to next weekend?
Jay won't change anything. He's going to hunt every day.
Right.
But for the I'm in the woods right now.
So let's talk about what would you change? Like, what I'm getting at is pre-rut, and we've talked about this over time, when I've had success with grunting, which my deer grunt like crazy right now, but grunting or even rattling to any degree, I've had that success now, not wide open rut. So I kind of hunt different places. Do y'all hunt different, like right now, pre-rut stand versus where you'll hunt when it's wide open?
You got to ask Jay that question, because I've been hunting
where I'm at.
Greenfields.
Where I'm at on that deal is you got that early season. They've been happy and not messed with, and you kill you some nice deer out of your green patches, okay? Well, they've been your green patches, unless you haven't been going very much at all, they're going to be hammered a little bit. But I get off the patches. I'm looking for greenbrier patches. I'm looking for honeysuckle areas that I know through the years have paid off. And I'm in the woods right now.
Yeah.
I'm on those places, like I said, historical rub line travel corridors where these deer are establishing that. And look, they're not out there running around like an idiot. Don't get me wrong. But you need to get they're tanking up with food. Right now, they're as big as they're going to be, pretty much. They're peeking out with their body weight. And from about now, next week or two, through the end of the year, they're going to start losing that weight. They'll leave the food so much, and they'll just start traveling a lot, chasing doe.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking for the best food source I got, and close to the best cover that I got. And that's what I'm hunting. If it's a clear cut, so be it. I got, like right now, I'm in a 180-acre piece of property that I have never hunted. It's the east end of our property, and we've had it for years and years. We just never go in here. Well, I decided today I'm going to go in here and look around. I've already seen several deer. I've already picked out where I can see about 250 yards, anything that heads north-south across through here. And I'm gonna see what happens.
Yeah.
I found some nice scrapes. I got, I hadn't seen any rub, but I got some pretty nice scrapes running around here in this old road bed. We're going to see what happens, what comes through here.
Well, we'll be waiting for next week's show for an update to see what happened in that spot. Remind folks, if they want to drop a deer off, get some get it rendered down to meat or anything in between? How they find y'all at Skinner's?
Man, I tell you what, we're up here in Thomasville. We're right here. Get to Hardee's on Highway 43, go west, about a mile and a half. You come to a four-way stop sign, take a right, go north, and we're right there. We're there at 8 o'clock every day. And down there in Daphne on Highway 181, right there at my house, we have a freezer and a cooler. Just come there and look on the Facebook page. We got a phone number, and we're there pretty much all the time in the afternoons and whatnot. We don't man that thing all day, but we'll be glad to take care of you there.
Good stuff. Jay, I appreciate it. Get after that deer, and we'll get a report next week.
All right, guys. Y'all be good and be safe. Hey, look at the safety belt. Little safety tip. We've had these belts now for, 10 years, and when they come out, inspect them. Make sure they're still in good shape.
That's right.
Your life depends on it.
Thank you, Jay.
Good tip. Jay Graddick, Skinner's Wild Game Processing, and we're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all along. And big thank you to Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. As you know, what he was describing is what I'm seeing. I mean, I've got some chasing going on, and you know, and a little different levels. Different day, you see more chasing than another, right? One day, they won't be chasing, and then like earlier in the week when it was actually cool for some time, they were chasing pretty good, but still kind of pre-rut. Mal, by next weekend, I don't know. Next weekend, I think mals will be hanging open and they'll be chasing hard.
Here's what it is on my place. Every year, this time of year, pre-rut, is the bucks and does are feeding right beside each other. They don't hardly look at each other, but it starts getting close to dark.
Yeah.
And every buck in there chase every doe out of there.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, I don't know what getting to dark does to them.
Oh, come on.
Something.
Turning those lights down in the house?
I guess that's what
it is. A special occasion with your lady? Come on. All right. Let's clean the show up or as much as we can, because bring a guest back onto the show, and always a lot of fun to talk to this man. Trail Kreitzer, research manager, gear expert with Go Hunt, GoHunt.com. Thanks for coming back on with us, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me again. It's always good to talk to you. Talk to you guys from Alabama.
Isn't it weird to hear that? So that we're busy talking hunting, because we lament this stuff, like whether it be Western big game shows or SHOT Show or whatever, when everybody out west is, you know, hunting season's over, it's in the rear view. Man, we're in the rut right now, so we're still hunting.
Yeah.
The
sounds like fun. I wish I was out hunting instead of you know, tucked in behind my desk every day, but I wish I was out hunting. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, you're tucked in behind your desk because while it is not hunting season for y'all, it is application season at Go Hunt and everywhere in the West.
That's it. Yeah, really, you start to dig in, you know, January all the way through about May and even a little bit into June. But that's crunch time for, you know, applying for hunts across the West.
So right now, if I wanted to go out west, I wanted to go out to Colorado or Utah or places out there, is this the time that you have to draw for your tag or get your tag or whatever?
It is, yeah. They start typically in January, so the first state out of the gate is typically elk in Wyoming. And the time frame is, you know, the 1st of January through the 31st, so that's open. You can apply for elk right now in Wyoming. And then, you know, as it gets progressively through the spring, you know, you start running into, you know, March, April, May. The various Western state draws are open and closed. You kind of have to pay attention to those deadlines, but they're kind of staggered through the spring. But really, yeah, now is the time to kind of start to do your research, make sure that you know the deadlines, make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, and kind of know what you want to do as far as applications go to make sure that you get a chance to get your name in the hat to draw a permit.
Let me put a little warning in there, because maybe, maybe not, but probably maybe, Wyoming elk, non-resident elk, has caught me before for the reason we're talking about. It's January. I'm hunting. I'm doing
it.
You know, I'm thinking. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll get to application stuff February, March, and then it's gone. So,
yeah.
One thing about Wyoming is kind of great is if you do miss that deadline to apply, you can still buy a preference point in the summer. So they'll give you a July to the end of October, where you can simply log into Wyoming Game and Fish, and you can still buy preference points for, you know, the hunts that you may have missed. So if you missed elk that January time frame, you know, I would highly encourage your listeners to jump in and still buy a preference point during that point only purchase time frame that can help you draw a permit, you know, down the road.
Hey, it explain, folks, because there's some people that are absolutely new to this trail. So let's talk about preference point, bonus point. People may hear us talk about this and say, okay, what is bonus versus preference, and why do they need these?
Yeah. So it's a point system that the various states use to kind of help people, you know, draw a permit or guarantee that you eventually draw a permit once that you keep applying. So there's typically two types, you know, bonus point and a preference point. A preference point, the true version of a preference point, what it does is it gives preference to the people with the most points that apply for any given hunt. So if I apply for a hunt and I've got 5 points, and you apply for a hunt and you've got no points, if I'm the high point guy that's applying for that, I'm going to, you know, be guaranteed the tag, you know, and there's no random component to that draw. It's just, it's a preference. So the more preference points you got, you know, eventually you get to a point where you're going to be guaranteed that permit. And that's kind of how a true preference point system works. A bonus point is more of a system where essentially what that is like an increased number of chances in the hat. So in a state like, you know, Utah, for example, it's kind of a hybrid system where they give a certain number of the permits to the people with the most bonus points. But the other, you know, 50%, they're going to randomly allocate. And the more bonus points that I have, the more chances I have in the hat to get my name, you know, picked out for those random permits. So that's kind of the difference between a preference and a bonus point. And, you know, it can get a little bit confusing because some states have hybrid systems. Wyoming is one of those states, you know, it's a preference point state where they're going to give 75% of the permits, you know, to the people with the most bonus point or most preference points, and then, you know, 25% of those are going to be randomly allocated. But, it's kind of complicated. I'm making it sound, but if you just dig in, you do a little bit of reading, you know, you jump inside your insider account, it's pretty easy to flesh that out.
And let me give a plug to, you know, as we do, to Go Hunt, GoHunt.com. That's what the tables do for you. They could take me, who has big dreams and puts my information in, and tell me, well, Sullivan, you got a 1% chance of drawing that with what you got. Mm-hmm. Or that you can bring me back to reality, which has been good because it helps me put in for things that I have a chance or know what a goal is. You know, I don't know how many of us trail there on there doing like, well, if I had 15 points, could I draw? And you go and check it just to see, to know in the mm-hmm. future, this is something that I should try to get, you know, get to that level.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it really is about draw odds, you know, looking at draw odds and being able to understand and look at the odds of drawing permits in the various states. And then, you know, kind of putting together a multi-state strategy. You know, for guys that are insiders within that Go Hunt Insider platform, just here last week I submitted my 2022 application strategy for all the states that I apply for. So, you know, people can kind of jump in and see how I tackle this process. I've been doing it for, you know, 20 plus years. I think people will find that helpful to kind of help them know, you know, how to interpret odds and then how to use a multi-state strategy.
So I'm going to go back to the preference points real quick. So preference points, how do you actually get the preference points? Is it when you turn in your application, whatever, you don't get drawn, then that puts points on for you? Is that what it does? And then next
yeah,
year
exactly.
when you go to draw, you got points. And then if you go that year and you don't get drawn, that puts more points on. So the third year you go, you got a bunch of points. You're subject to get drawn the third or the fourth or the fifth year. Is that right?
Exactly. That's it. So
okay.
We'll take a state like Colorado, for example. You apply for a hunt. You're unsuccessful in that hunt. You're going to get a preference point for that year's application. So for every year, you know, you apply and you're unsuccessful in their state draw, you get a preference point. Some states like Wyoming, which I just mentioned, you know, you can apply for the draw because there is some random component of their draw. If you don't draw, you can still log on in that summer time frame and buy a preference point. So you get one preference point per year, you know, either for buying one or for applying for a hunt and being unsuccessful in drawing that hunt.
Yeah, and that's one of the keys, too, I think, talking to folks today that there's one strategy if you want to be hunting this year. You know, you're from Southeast, you're from South Alabama, and you want to be mule deer hunting or elk hunting, you know, to go, there's one strategy. But if you go, you know what, the kids are young, I can't do it right now, but gosh, in 5 years, man, I want to go do this. I've been dreaming about it. You work on it now. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It's so different than kind of the thought process in areas like in the Southeast where you just over the counter, you just go get your license and go hunt. Yeah. People got to plan ahead of time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You really do have to plan ahead. And that's why I think, you know, I mentioned having a multi-state strategy, you know, applying or picking up points in various Western states. That'll give you opportunities to hunt in the West every year. And you can kind of pick and choose, you know, what states you want to hunt and when. But you have to plan ahead. And I mean, you mentioned Colorado. I mean, there are mule deer hunts you can draw with 5 points. You know, there's mule deer hunts you can draw with no points. And it just depends, you know, what type of hunt you're looking for. I mean, a 5-point hunt, you're going to have a better hunt. I mean, they manage that for, you know, better quality. So there's typically a higher buck to doe ratio. You know, there's less pressure on the landscape. A 0-point unit, you know, they're going to issue a lot of permits. There's a lot of people on the landscape. There's a lot of pressure and typically, you know, lower buck to doe ratios, lower trophy potential. But I mean, that's what's great about a state like Colorado or, you know, a lot of the Western states, to be honest, is that you can do the research and you can find a hunt that's really suited and tailored to what you're looking for.
Yeah, and those, you know, I mean, Trail knows where the units I've gone in Colorado, but I don't think I've ever had more than 2 points. I think that was because I use them and they build back up and I use them. And I'm not going to some super hard to draw. I mean, I know that I'm old. I'll be 50 soon. I'm not going to make some of these, you know, yeah. Unit 44 or something like that. So I just make sure I go. And we've had success. We just, you know, hump it a little bit more. But it's great for me, you know, because I don't have anything. I don't have a hunt in 44 or somewhere like that to compare it to. Right. I'm just it's 1,000% better than any mule deer hunt in Alabama that's non-existent. So
and that's what's so hard for us around here to get used to, that you have to do draws and you have to think ahead around here. You know, anybody, if you want to come hunt with us, you just come on down here right now. This week we can get you a license and you just start hunting. It's no problem at all. I mean, if you want to bring 500 people with you, come on. We'll put them all out, you know? No problem whatsoever. So it's just a different mindset we have to think about. Well, we're going to go out west. I better start checking in on it and see when I have to apply for a tag. It's just totally different.
Yeah, it's, you know, and Trail, I mean, there's, and each state is different. I know, you know, I've learned, and even stuff like Mike will be, you know, deer hunting in Kansas this coming year.
We
and there's, if you get drawn. That's what I'm saying. Even something like that's not the idea of Western big game, but Kansas, even for a non-resident, you got to play the odds.
Yeah, Kansas, Iowa, you know, South Dakota. I mean, those are all states that you got to apply and, you know, build up some points to get drawn. So, not so dissimilar to the Western states themselves. But, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, that it is a different mindset. I mean, it's a different mindset in regards to, you know, equipment. It's a different mindset in regards to the physicality of a hunt. I mean, Western hunting can be very physical. I mean, it's a lot of hiking, you know, a lot of elevation, a lot of, you know, vertical, you know, gain and loss. So that can be a different mindset. And then, you know, just the landscape itself. I mean, there's so much public land in the West, you know, learning to use a map or an app like we've got now, you know, just to learn to kind of navigate the landscape and the land ownership and finding those public land. And there really is so much public land. But I mean, I talk to people, you know, from the South, you know, from the North and the Midwest. I mean, I talk to people from all over the East Coast that want to come out west, and it seems like this insurmountable. It seems really hard, but I mean, I can tell you that reality is, I mean, it's so much more doable than you think. You really just got to dig in, do the research, you know, consume the content that's out there, and it's very doable.
Yeah, I would throw this monkey wrench in before we go to the break and come back, but you talked about, you know, what it means to higher point, you know, units and better trophy potential, buck doe ratio, bull to cow ratio. But one of the things I've noticed kind of subtly in that physicality, you can find a place that probably has some pretty decent game, But I'll just put it in Sullivan parlance. It sucks to get into some of these places, and it hurts really badly. They may be pretty decent hunting, and you can get it with fewer points because it's you're not riding roads. You know, you have to get out and hump it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are definitely some areas that have wilderness areas where access is a lot more complex. They're easy to draw because of that reason. I mean, it's just a harder logistically to hunt those. A lot of those are really good hunting, but it can be tough, you know, because it's a very physical hunt.
And we're coming right back. More with Trail Kreincher with Go Hunt, GoHunt.com, right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So don't come up to me at the Crawfish Bowl in June and say, oh, I forgot I was supposed to get in the draw. We're telling you right now. Be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Our special guest, Trail Kreincher. Go Hunt, GoHunt.com, which I guess that's the easiest way to tell people if they're following along with what we're saying, then go to GoHunt.com and see what we're talking about. But, Trail, we talked about preference points and bonus points and kind of strategies, and I want to get maybe back into strategies, but can I throw this little a carrot into the mix for somebody listening to us now and says, well, I don't have any dang points. I don't have... Like a state like New Mexico, explain that one, how that's different from some of the other states we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so New Mexico and actually Idaho, I'll mention that as well because they have very similar draw systems. But their draw systems for limited quota permits is totally random, so there's no point system whatsoever. You know, whether you've applied for 20 years or you're applying for the very first year in those two states, everybody's on an equal playing field, so... those are great states. Both of them have excellent elk herds. I mean, New Mexico is a phenomenal elk state. And personally, in my opinion, it's a must apply for elk. If you draw a permit in New Mexico, you know, you're set for a really good hunt. So I would say, you know, New Mexico ought to be on your list if you're looking at applying for a permit. You never know. Like I said, everybody's on equal playing field, no point system whatsoever.
And yeah, and the bulls that have come out of that. I mean, I know all the states we've mentioned have fantastic bulls, but my gosh, I see pictures each year from people around here I know that go out there, and they're hunting landowner tags, which I want to get into in a second, but they kill some, my gosh, studs.
Yeah. Monsters, yeah. We got several friends of ours that go out there every year just about.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, too, that landowner tag. This is foreign language to us in the Southeast. Explain that.
Yeah, so landowners, for... having land and having, you know, supporting public wildlife on private lands, they're given a certain number of permits that they can then turn around and sell directly to consumer so that, you know, they can kind of recoup some of the cost of supporting, you know, public wildlife on private lands and benefiting those herds. So New Mexico, there's a lot of states actually that have landowner permits. New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, Colorado's got some landowner permits, and they've got different rules on how they can be sold and listed. New Mexico specifically, there's a lot of landowner permits that are available, and there's websites that facilitate the sale of those permits. We get some sometimes. I mean, there's a couple other sites. One of them is Hunter's Domain. They sell a lot of landowner permits for New Mexico, and those permits you could just simply buy. I mean, you can buy them. Go hunting. Some of them are unit-wide. Some of them are only valid on the actual public or the private land piece in that state. But,
you don't have to
draw.
They
vary in price.
Right.
Mean, you can get them all the way from $3,500 to, you know, 10 grand or 20 grand, depending on, you know, the type of trophy potential that might exist in that area.
But you're almost like when you buy the landowner permit, you got the draw with that, right? Or do you don't have to draw on top of that?
No, you don't have to draw. That's a guaranteed tag. I mean, you're going hunting.
So that is one way for people to make, you know, if you...
Yeah, it depends how much money you want to spend, just like he says. you know, you want to spend $5,000, $10,000, $20,000,
There's someone waiting for you if you do.
That's right.
as we talk about different species, I mean, because we mentioned New Mexico, and then you said, well, let's not forget Idaho. Let's talk about, you know, just state general. If you had to pick... one and two in each. First of all, mule deer for chance of somebody, getting drawn and you know, that has just started or has a couple pointers, building points, what would be your one and two to not long-term but short-term states for mule deer?
Mm-hmm. So Colorado, we talked a little bit about it, but Colorado's got to be on your list for mule deer. They just have so many opportunities. They've got archery, muzzleloader. They've got second, third, fourth rifle season. So they have this, you know, plethora of hunts that you could potentially apply for and draw. What that does is it kind of creates a lot of opportunities. So there's, like I said earlier, there's hunts that you can draw with no points. There's hunt you can draw with 3 or 4 points. And Colorado still has a really robust deer population. And, you know, it's just like I've told you before, those 1-2 point units, I mean, they can still produce some really nice bucks. I mean, I hunted second season this year with my boy. You know, he killed a nice 3 point. I saw a buck the third day that I hunted the rest of the hunt that was probably pushing 190.
Ooh.
That was a two point unit.
Wow.
So they exist. So Colorado's definitely got to be on your list. A couple other states that I really like, Wyoming for mule deer. Still a good opportunity to hunt. They still have general regions that you can draw a general region permit. A lot of those can be drawn with very few or no points whatsoever. Wyoming is a great mule deer state. Again, a lot of deer and great trophy potential. Another state I might throw in the mix would be just general season Utah. So I think, you know, you and I were talking a little bit earlier. You've got some general season deer points in Utah. You know, with maybe 3-4 points, you can draw a really nice general season Utah tag and go on a really fun hunt where, you know, my biggest bucks have all come from general season hunts in Utah, which, you know, I live here so I can scout, but there's definitely great trophy potential within those general season units. So I would say, you know, Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah.
Those are the best for the early, and then in another conversation down the road, we'll talk about long-term strategies. Let's talk about, again, short-term elk. Let's move to elk. A lot of, you know, that drives a lot of the thought and the wanderlust to go out west for people back here is elk, which I point out mule deer is pretty darn fun. But elk, where one and two, where would we go?
Yeah, again, I would put Colorado right up there because Colorado still offers over-the-counter elk hunting for bull elk. So they offer over-the-counter archery. They have second and third rifle seasons that still have over-the-counter elk hunting opportunities, and that's in a lot of units in the state of Colorado.
When you say over the counter tags, in other words, if I go out
like
there,
here,
and
it,
yeah, just like here. Okay, if I go out there and
what
October,
is it, $685 or something like that, and you can go elk hunting.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
yeah, you could.
Well, they got some Alabama ideas out there.
You drive out here the day before the second rifle season opener. You could walk into a Cabela's and buy an over-the-counter bull antler elk tag and go out and hunt any of the over-the-counter units that are available to you. And, you know, there's some nice bulls available. I mean, I haven't personally bought those. I've hunted the archery over-the-counter and had great hunts. I've not purchased the rifle permits, but every time I've hunted second or third rifle season deer tags, had I bought an elk permit, I could have filled it.
That's always it. Yes, I went through that too. I was like, dang it.
Exactly. So yeah, that's a great opportunity. And then again, they also have, you know, draw hunts that you can draw with, you know, very few points, anything from 0 to 5 to, you know, 10, 15 and on up. I would say that it's still a great time. I mean, I took my 15-year-old a year ago on a first rifle elk hunt in Colorado on a hunt that he drew at 3 points, and we had an awesome time.
Now if Colorado's on that list, number one, what's number two, or what other one would you throw in the mix for elk?
Yeah, I would say, again, Wyoming. Wyoming's a phenomenal elk state, and then I would probably throw Montana. So Montana still has general season elk hunting. For a non-resident, you have to draw that general season permit, which you can do with, you know, very few points, 1 to 2 points typically at this point. So I would definitely say Montana, you know, get preference points up there and look at doing a general season elk hunt up there. And then, you know, Wyoming still has a general season elk hunt. It's going to take you maybe 2.5 to 4 points to draw that permit, depending on, you know, which pool you apply in. But still phenomenal elk hunting for very few points. So those would probably be my top three states, Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana for the short term.
All right, and my kicker on this before we wrap up with trail, let's throw antelope in the mix as well, because this is – even though it's weird because I have yet to hunt them, everybody told me that was the best thing I should have started with as my gateway to out west. I don't know. I went straight to mule deer, but I'm still interested in antelope. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think once you go antelope hunting, I think you'd be hooked. I absolutely love antelope hunting. I'm not sure that there's, you know, a more majestic, just a really attractive, cool animal in the west than an antelope. I mean, they're really such a neat animal. I've become hooked. I mean, I want to hunt antelope every single year. So I would say, first and foremost, you know, Wyoming is the antelope state. I mean, they got more antelope than people up there. So, tons of opportunity to hunt antelope in Wyoming. And again,
is that over the counter tag?
It's not. You have to draw that through the draw.
Okay.
But again, there are permits that can be drawn from, you know, anywhere from 15 points to, you know, very few points. But, you know, Wyoming is the king of the heap when it comes to antelope hunting. And then, you know, other states I'd throw in the mix. Colorado's a decent antelope state for very few points for a non-resident. You know, New Mexico is a phenomenal antelope state in terms of trophy quality. And again, where that's a completely random draw, it's worth throwing your name in the hat.
Yeah, I mean, you got as much chance as anybody else on that.
Yeah.
All right. This is just the tip of the iceberg, y'all. We got, we'll have to get trail on again as we go through. But telling folks right now, I mean, do not dawdle. It's application season, right? So they got to start looking now.
Yeah, now's the time to start looking. I mean, if you've got interest in, you know, hunting the West this year or even 3 to 5 years down the road, now's the time to start looking and kind of do the research and make sure that you apply and pick up either bonus or preference points where it makes sense for you. So, yeah, now's the time to start with your research.
All right, y'all head on over to GoHunt.com. You'll see all the options there and see how that helps you make those picks. And as always, I tell Trail this every time, but I know he's too busy. Come on and deer hunt with us, Trail. Come on, whitetails. We got whitetails piled up.
If you look at my application strategy for this next year, you see that like one of the three species I really want to hunt this next year is whitetail. I really want to get out in a tree stand and bow hunt whitetail. So I may hit you up on that.
And look, we can get you a hog too.
Yeah, everybody I know out west is like, the heck with your whitetails. You got any hogs? So yeah, we got those too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And look, you can bring 500 buddies with you too. No problem.
Yeah, everybody can shoot a hog. Yeah, we want them gone. That's for sure. Trail, as always, man, I appreciate you and what you do. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, absolutely, it's always a good time talking to you guys. If you want to have me on again, I'd be more than happy. Appreciate it.
We'll be ringing you soon. There he is, Trail Kreinzer from GoHunt.com, and we're coming right back. And we tend to do that sometimes. We run out of time on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Appreciate y'all listening. Obviously, we'll be talking more deer come up next weekend. And I'm going to take a look at some ducks. Hopefully, go find some.
Yeah.
I got to find them first. But I think with this front, we probably got another push of ducks. So kind of scope that out. And the dang trout fishing's gotten at least more reliable with the cold, too. Bobby said they're back in the deeper water places they should be. So that's good.
I think the causeway is probably over.
Yeah, causeway. He's in dead end rivers.
Yeah.
So
man, the river's really high up in Jackson right now.
Well, and you know what? We haven't had the rain down here that they've had. If you watch the radar up north, they have been up above the dams. They sure enough have had it. So
that's
for sure. All right, we're out of here. We're gonna go get in the woods
right now.
All right, talk to y'all next week. This is FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.